So good morning, everybody. So I think, so who knows what arrival fallacy means? I know big words. Jenny, do you know what it means? You see, I've arrived. Jenny doesn't know what it means. So there's this thing that's built into us, right? That we see, we have these goals that we set, and we think when we reach that goal, we've arrived. Everything is going to be plain sailing, right? When I get that promotion, when I get that ring, when I get that customer for my business, when whatever it is, but if I can just get that thing, then everything's going to be plain sailing. And then you get there and you realize, not so much, right? Like, if you get your first house and you're like, I've got that key, everything's going to be amazing. And then 6 months in, there's a leak in the roof. The geyser burst. 2 days after the maintenance plan ended, the warranty ended. And you're like, oh, this is a whole new set of challenges. And I think sometimes when we get saved, and it might be because it's just your understanding, it might be because of what you got saved into, that when you get saved, Jesus is going to fix everything and your life will be plain sailing. And the word doesn't say that, right? Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. That there is going to be a testing and a perseverance and a working in us. But if you've come with that thing of, when I get saved, I've arrived, everything's going to be plain sailing, you are going to struggle. Because there is a contending. And I'm going to share a story around Israel. I know last time, one of my preachers was Walls Before Calls. And it's about how the Jericho walls came down, right? This preach is really going to be about as Israel entered into the promised land, the walls came down. They're in Jericho. They're about to advance. It wasn't plain sailing. Right? They were 400 years in Egypt as slaves. They were 40 years in a desert. The walls have come down and everything should be incredible. But the same way Israel had to contend and advance was, the Lord told Joshua, wherever you set your foot, wherever you set your foot, I will give that land to you. And there was an expectation of advancing. And when they get into the land, they faced, I'm going to speak about three specific giants or enemies that they faced. And it's enemies that we also face today. Because as much as they had to take land, we have to take land. Like us taking land, personally and as a congregation, is first in personally is going to be this. Are we growing in God? Are we maturing? Are we advancing? Are things that we used to be trapped in, are we finding freedom in it? Things that we couldn't go beyond, are we overcoming? And secondly, are we going wide? Are we reaching the lost? Do we still remember the great commission, the great mission that we are called to? And that is how we take land. But here, to do it, there's going to be a contending, a fighting in us to overcome. I know we've been doing spiritual gifts. And then on Wednesday, one of the things that we started with was, but what is hindering you? It's one thing knowing your gift, getting the gift, but are you walking in it? Because there's many things that will ensnare you, trap you, tie you up, bind you, take your attention, that will stop you from walking in what the Lord has called you to operating in your gifts. And Sage, I know I gave you a lot of scripture that I've skipped over. So in the New Testament, you often see this call to war for the church. And it speaks about this warfare. For the weapons of our warfare is this language of what do we wrestle against, right? In Jude 1:3, dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. And in this case, Jude is, he was about to write an encouraging letter to share the gospel, to say what we've got in Christ. But then there was an issue in the church. This particular issue was inside the church. Those false teachers inside the church. So instead of sending an encouraging message, he actually sent a wartime dispatch. He sent a battle cry to contend, to fight, to stand. And that word contend in the Greek, and I won't tell you the Greek, I'll butcher it, but it does mean agonize. And the word agonize in English, right? But the context of it is when you're when you're wrestling with somebody in a long wrestling fight, and you're focused. And Jordan came home yesterday full of sweat. He's been doing judo wrestling and I don't know what. And he was like, "Yo, you can't like turn off. You must be focused. You must." But it is that. It also speaks about soldiers that are in hand-to-hand combat. It basically means you're doing everything. You're giving your all to fight for the prize, for something that is valuable. And I want to say that is for us, is there a fight in us for the Lord has called us to? And all these things that we choose that Conroy shared about sowing and reaping, what are we sowing into? Are we still sowing? Because there's this compounding effect in the word, right? About sowing and reaping. As the more you sow, it compounds. But the thing is, you can sow in the wrong places or in the right places. You can sow things that is not of God. You can sow to the flesh or you can sow to the spirit. And every time you take that step, you add to this thing, it compounds. And the question is, like, what are we sowing into? And the title of the preach is Saved But Not Settled. So we're saved, but we're not a settled people. We haven't put the flag in our walk with God and said, I've arrived. This is a permanent flag. No, this is a temporary camp. That God does work, we move, we advance, we grow. Individually and as a congregation. You know, we advance as a congregation with every single one of us moving forward. You know, God has this thing about tribes, about unity, about not leaving someone behind, that we do this thing together. So the first enemy is the enemy within. So just after the walls came down, right? Jericho walls came down. We get this guy, Achan. And Achan is busy in the rubble. The wall just came down. And he sees a lacquer robe. He sees silver and gold. And God said, don't touch any of the things from, don't take any of those things from Jericho. And he takes it and he digs a hole in his tent and he hides it away. And nobody knows about it. And then the next battle, they face a small little enemy called Ai, or Ai. Small little. They don't even send the whole army. They send some men to go fight. They're like, this is a side mission. It's a side quest. Like guys sort it out. But 36 soldiers die. They get absolutely defeated. And Joshua's like, God, where are you? Have you forsaken us? And God says, Israel has sinned against me. Doesn't say Achan has sinned against me. He said, Israel has sinned against me. One person, one man, broke the advance of God's people. And we can sit here and be like, I remember when I read that story, I'm like, what's wrong with Achan? But like you just went around the wall and the wall came down. I'm like, this is a God of power. This is a living God. This is a God I can stay close to. Why would you steal? Like, it don't make no sense, right? But we do that, right? The things we pray for. You know, you prayed for that job. Lord, open the door. Lord, make a way. You get the job. The first day on the job, I don't smack this manager. There's something. Or your colleague, nah, there's going to be a problem here. The first day, you're already, there's stuff in your heart already. There's already this thing of, you haven't unpacked your desk, but you're digging a hole under the desk. Here's all the stuff. And ask you, what's in your heart, right? I think that preacher Joey spoke about loving yourself. There's a verse from Romans that says that the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And a good test of where we are is what is in your heart. For example, when you worship and you pray, is it primarily, woe is me, Lord? What about me, Lord? Is it about your circumstances? But why, Lord? Why am I in this? Or is it primarily, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Because if you are saved this morning, no matter what you're facing, it can't compare to this new life and eternity that you found in Him. And your starting place should be gratitude. Thank you, God, for what you've done. What is in your heart? We need to be able to open our hearts up and say, Lord, what is in it? What is primarily in our hearts? Is it the love and the grace and gratitude for God and God's people? And there may be many things hidden this morning. And I think this past while, a lot of people have come forward and brought stuff into the light. But I'll ask you this morning, what is hidden under your tent? God knows it already. Sage, if you can put up. Actually, no, let's not go there. Actually, I'll put up James 5, 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. You bring it into light if you want to be healed. You know, it was Achan's punishment. Joshua had to judge him and he was killed. But you know what Jesus did? He went to the cross. So instead of judgment falling on us, it fell on him. Instead of judgment falling on us, grace falls on us. There's grace right now for those that are his. To live in the light and yield. What is under your tent right now? The second one. Should check time. So the second enemy didn't come with weapons. They came with the peace treaty. So in Joshua, I think it's Joshua 9. Let me just check here. Yeah, around Joshua 9. There's this tribe called, or this people called the Gibeonites. And they're close. So like God said to Israel, do not make treaties, alliances with any of these tribes, of these nations that surround you. There's an advance I expect from you. But the Gibeonites come, and they come with stale bread. They come with weary. They look weary. They come with old clothes, dusty sandals. And they look like they come from afar. And they offer their foods. And in Joshua 9, 14. Did I give it to you, Sage? Okay, it's fine. I'll read it. The Israelites sampled their provision, the Gibeonites, but did not inquire of the Lord. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them. So what Joshua and Israel did, they looked with their eyes. They're not a dangerous people. We can form a treaty with him. It will be safe. But they never inquired of the Lord. And you know, for the rest of Israel's history, the rest of the time you read about them in the land, in the promised land, they're always contending. There's always these alliances. There's always these compromises. And ultimately, it leads to idol worship and them drifting from God. Just by not inquiring from God. You know, that's dangerous. Be careful about things that look, this is safe. I don't need to get any perspective. I don't need to inquire of the Lord. It's a pretty straightforward decision. Be careful. Remember to inquire of the Lord. And One of the things for Israel was they did want to belong. They did want to fit in. Right? Who remembers the TV series Survivor? I don't know if it still exists. Okay, there is some. Oh, there's some youngsters. So I'm old enough to remember the first one. Okay, mate, just me? Okay. So the first one, no one knew how to play the game. They came in, they were innocent, shame, and just no strategy, right? From the second one on, the first thing everyone did when they come land on that island, they need to form alliances. If you're on your own and you don't fit in and you don't grab a tribe and connect with people and find people, surround yourself with people, you will be voted off the island. And isn't the world like that? Almost in everything, from school, from primary school, university, work, the workplace, families, there's this sense that, we want to fit in. Right? There's something in all of us that we want to belong. And even when you get saved, there's this thing, but we still want to fit in, right? And I remember, we're not called to fit in. Like, we are peculiar people. I can see some people looking at me, you're peculiar, but no, we are all a peculiar people. We are salt, right? We are called to be the change agent. We are the city on hill. We are not called to fit in. If you are striving to fit in to this world, there's a problem. Sage put on Matthew 10:34. So this is what Jesus said about fitting in and finding peace with the world. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And Jesus is saying, I'm not just a guest that when you give your heart to me, I'm a king. And I'm a king that came to bring truth, that came to draw a line. And when you got saved, I'm sure for many of you here, there was a sense of, not you fighting to break relationships or whatever, but it felt like a sword came. There's some things that the Lord had to separate you from. And even now, you might have been saved for many years, and I want to say, when last did you feel the sword? And you might be like, not for a long time, I only know saved people. Well, that's also a problem, right? Because Jesus was the friend of sinners. We are not called to isolate from sinners. So that's also a problem. Like, the greatest thing we are called to is the Great Commission. But I want to say, what is impacting, what is speaking into your life? Who is speaking into your life? The people you surround yourself with. What are you impacting? Are you salt to those around you, or are they salt to you? I remember when I got saved, my best friend at the time, a few months later, I led him to the Lord. Came to church, maybe 6 months later, he fell away. And I remember maybe 2 years, and I didn't speak to him for a long time. 2 years in, I visited him again and chatted to him. And I remember sitting there and realizing, and actually I felt the sword that day, that this is dangerous for you because he's going to impact you. Are you listening to the Spirit of God, to the sword that Jesus brings, to know what should you step into and not step into? What are you aligned with? Who are you in business with? Not you work for, because then we're all going to say, but we work for. I'm saying you had a vision for a business and you, who are you yoked with? Relationally, be careful about being unequally yoked. And I think a good test for us. I remember years ago, I think it was a comm leader at the time, and there was this elder named Cliff. And he visited me at my workplace. But when he came, I was still in a meeting. So he was chatting to the tea lady, the receptionist, people walking past. Oh, so tell me a bit about Joe. But anyway, I didn't know. I eventually came out, I had a coffee with him. We went to Vida in the building, said goodbye, came back up, and all the people came to me. Check here, who's that? Is that a policeman? And I said, no, it's an elder in my church. Because no, he was asking questions about you, like, what do you, like, how are you around? Like, how do you behave? Like, all these things. And I'm like, no, he's fine. No, he's, I said, I hope you guys have a good, no, good. And I remember thinking, yo, but is there anything that's different? And I want to ask you right now, do you have a church persona and a world persona? Do you have a church circle and a worldly circle? I want to ask you, if your church friends and your world and your friends in the world, in the workplace, whoever, came together, would it be awkward for you? Would you be worried? Or would it be like, no, absolutely no, I'm exactly the same person? Or would they be like, who are you talking about? Huh? Like, does your tone change, your words change, your thoughts change when you're not in this context? That's a good test. There's an alliance problem. And nothing will change your destiny outside of your relationship with God than the people you align yourself with, than the people that speak into your lives. Who are you aligned with? Because if it's not the right people, that's an incredible enemy to face. And then the third one. So the Jericho walls fell down. Joshua is divvying up the land. There's a lot of land. He's giving different people different sections, right? And here's 85-year-old Caleb that comes onto the scene as Joshua is divvying it up. And he says, give me the hill country. So at the time, the giants were still around. The giants were in the hill countries, in the fortified cities. And 45 years earlier, when the spies went into the land, Caleb went into the hill countries and he saw the giants. But his report when he came back was, our God is greater. And for 45 years, he's waiting for this opportunity to face that giant. And I don't know if I was Caleb, maybe, I would have been, but I'm 85. Give me the liquor meadows here at the bottom. Look here, some sheep. Some crops. Can play with my grandchildren. But it was a fight in Caleb. There was a destiny in him. There was a thing of their thing. Is going to fall. And Caleb was 85. I want to say, if you are breathing here today, and everyone is breathing, you're not done. There's still a call on your life. There's still things that the Lord has to do in you and through you. And I want to say that hundreds of years later, there's this young man, David. And he needs to face a giant called Goliath. Do you know that God told Joshua that they should take the land and eliminate all the giants? So they didn't accomplish the task. And yeah, 100 years later, David had to face a giant that was not his to face. And I want to say, if you're sitting here and there's giants that you need to face, there's things that you need to face, and you're hiding from it, you're running from it. Let me say that your children, your grandchildren will have to face their giant. Their giants can be full of armor calling their name. Let me ask you, do you want to leave that to your kids and grandkids? Do you want to hide from it and have a life where you shrink back and do the bare minimum? Or do you know that there is a contending spirit in you? And can you put up 2 Timothy 1:7? And this is how you deal with the things you need to face. For God has not given you a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Another translation says a sound mind or self-control. Now, a lot of us know about love, and we've spoken about it. A lot of us understand power. But you understand self-control. You know how important that is in facing giants, in overcoming. I've been in church for this church for many years. I've seen people with incredible potential, incredible gifting, incredible anointing. I've seen people with incredible love for God's people. But I've seen them fall. Because they didn't have self-control. They couldn't face what they needed to face. That one thing that the enemy found. They'd go around that thing, and around that thing, and around that thing. And you think you settled, but you're busy dying. Because sin leads to sin, leads to death. And I'll ask you that, can you do that? Can you find the faith to put one step in front of the other? I've seen many people that I've looked at and I'm like, and there's some people here today, that I'm like, oh, there's not much to them. They're amazing people, but I don't know how the Lord's going to use them. And I've seen over the years, as they've given themselves to the ways of God, as they've laid down their lives, as they put one foot in front of the other and faced, when they've got input, they were teachable. They shifted. They weren't like, ah, that's not for me. They weren't like, ah, this is the way I'm born. This is the way I am. They weren't driven and led by their flesh, by the things that they grew up with, by the hurts that they felt, by shame of the things they did, but they were led by the Spirit of God and a God that redeemed them. And I've seen them become mighty for God. God used the least of these. And I'm going to ask, what fears do you carry today? Is it your past? Is it the fear of being like your parents? Is it a fear of repeating patterns? Is it a fear of man? Is it a fear of disappointing man? Is it a fear to trust leaders? To trust others? What is the fear that you carry today? Because sometimes the fear of disappointing will ensnare you. You'll never move forward. You'll never take a chance. You'll never step out. And I'm going to say that every single one of us faces giants. And God never promised the giants will be small. He told Joshua, I will be with you wherever you go. God never promised it'll be easy, but he said, I will be with you through it. You know that Joshua grew old and the giants were still around. He died and the giants were still around. But Jesus went to the cross and he took the greatest enemies, the greatest giants, sin and death. And he overcame it for us to have victory. Do you know that all these things I'm saying, that these things that we need to face in him, it's in him. We don't fight from a place to get victory. We fight from a place of victory. Jesus said this in John 16:33. He said, in this world you have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. What giant do you fear today? There is no need, because we serve a victorious king. I'm landing now. So I'm 50, right? And yesterday I was 20. It's crazy. Time flies. Just like yesterday, I can remember. I remember I had to make decisions when I was 20, when I was 25, when I was. And I can tell you now, every time you delay something, you procrastinate. You run away from something. You defer something. You choose the flesh. You choose the easy way. You choose the wide gate, not the narrow gate. Every time you do those things, it compounds. And those things will start building in you. And it will impact the destiny of your life. And I want to say, choose God's way. And when I was praying about this, these are some of the things that came. So every time you make a big decision, like moving countries, cities, churches, jobs, every time you make a big decision on your own, without even bringing it to leaders, without even saying, what's your perspective? You're sowing independence. Every time you carry an offense, instead of choosing the messy path of reconciliation and forgiveness, every time you choose to hold onto that thing, you compound division. Every time you stay silent about deep issues, deep things that you're hiding away, you compound isolation. And every time you remain critical and don't believe the best, you compound bitterness in your heart. So those are just some of the things when I was praying. Those are specific things the Lord highlighted to me. But thank God for holy habits too, right? Like we can draw a line, right? We can decide. We can say, God, we're choosing your way. We can day by day choose God, choose God's ways. Every time we like, oh, this is difficult. My flesh wants to go the other way. But I'm not just going to be like, oh, my flesh carries me. No, I'm going to resist. I'm going to contend. I'm going to choose your way, God. Every time you spend time in His Word, every time you spend time in His presence and you open your heart up and you cry out to God, I need you. God, check my heart. Not like He knows already, but if you will surrender it. So I say, what is hidden under your tent today? Who are you aligned with today? And what giants have you been circling, but you won't face? You've been running from it. Because the Lord wants to deal with those things so you can be healed.